Welcome to the C3SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
I'm excited to get into this word. What I love about our church is that we are always centered in the reality that we cannot do the Christian walk without the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean that as in like, it's an option that we just take a really hold of because we've realized and recognized we can't do it. No, literally, you don't have a Christian experience without the Holy Spirit. You can't have the Spirit of Christ and not have the Spirit. It doesn't work. And so therefore, anyone who has received Christ has received the Spirit. And when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you will 100% have ongoing encounters and experiences, and we speak of second baptism and these spaces, but really I think it's more about an awareness, so that we often as Christians forget what we have. I don't know if you've ever realized something that was there all along that you've never utilized, and then suddenly you're like, oh, this is nice. So we bought a new car a couple of years ago, and it's got lane keeping assist on it, which it like steers the wheel for you. And I thought it was broken. I was driving along one day and it started steering. I'm like, what is going on with my car? But I realized it's keeping me in the lanes. It's this thing that's assisting me. And I didn't know it was there. And then one day I became aware and I've never turned it off. Some people hate it. I love it. Sometimes I don't take my hands off the wheel and let it drive for me because it actually goes, stop doing that. But we have in the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, a way of life that is a blessed life. And it is 100% available to all of us all the time. We just need to be aware. We need to stay aware. So I'm going to ask us a question for those of us who I need to engage your brain before you start listening to me. How much of my week am I engaging the Holy Spirit in my life? How much of my week, a 7-day period, would I say I actually engage the Holy Spirit in my life? Is it sometimes? Is it on a Sunday? So like, that's got kind of two avenues we can go down, because when you come on a Sunday, are you engaging with the Holy Spirit? And the Lord, honestly, Pastor Phil's been saying this forever, but it's very true. The Lord comes to a thirsty soul. And the greatest enemy of Christianity is familiarity. Like, what God can't stand above anything else is pride. That closes off and says, I don't need it. So I make sure every Sunday, even if I don't feel like it, I just come and I lift my hands. And I'm not, and you go, well, that's fake. No, I do it until I feel it. I'm honestly going to lead myself, my family, my whole, whatever is under my responsibility into the presence of God. And you can do that every Sunday. You don't have to come here closed off for two songs and then finally on the third song, Jonesy finally hits that note, or Welshie kind of breaks through and suddenly we're like, oh yes, now I feel the Holy Spirit, I lift my hands. No, we can actually as a community come and say, Holy Spirit, fill us right now, every single Sunday, 100%. And your whole demeanor, your whole internal world will shift because the Holy Spirit is powerful. And He will give you a fresh perspective on life. But I'd also ask, are you only engaging with the Holy Spirit on Sunday? Do you engage with the Holy Spirit in your workplace? Does He talk to you about your work? Does he lead you in unction? Does the Word lead the way that you do business? Does the Holy Spirit work with you in you while you're at work? Does the Holy Spirit work within you in your family life? Within your marriage, your kids? If you're single, within your relationships, your connections? For all of us, does the Holy Spirit work within our relational life? Does the Holy Spirit engage? Do I engage with the Holy Spirit during conflict? When you're in a fight and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you ignore Him, so you can continue to fight. Don't do that. I don't do that. Tammy sometimes does that. Do I engage with him when I'm struggling, when I'm anxious, when I'm tempted? Because he's always there. And what we are aiming for is a life that is baptized, immersed, completely submerged and surrendered into the Spirit. And that is one that is increasing in its awareness and engagement with him. The life we all desire, friends, is not found in ignoring the law. It's not found in just living how we want to live. It's called living by the sinful nature, and it will never lead to good things. It leads to death. That's not where freedom is found. But it's also not found in striving to fulfill the law, just trying to do the right thing. The blessed life, the flourishing Christian life, is found in a life that is completely immersed and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Galatians, we're going to look at Galatians 5, and we're also going to look at some chapters in Romans. Paul is addressing two communities that honestly had forgotten what they had. And they were fighting in both circumstances about food. The issue was how they did meals. The Galatians, the Jews, didn't want to have dinner with the Gentiles because that's not clean. We don't do that. They didn't understand that we're all one big family now. So they're living for God, praise Jesus, but not really. And the detail, the devil's in the detail was food. God cares about the little things. In fact, sometimes we think about what grieves the Holy Spirit as these big crazy sins, but actually it's more about how we treat one another. Community is sacred to God. God is renewing a family and bringing it together. And that is so important in terms of how we treat one another. The Jewish people, they wouldn't eat meat that was not kosher. But because in Rome, the majority people in the church were Gentiles, because Emperor Claudius had kicked out all the Jews out of Rome, and then after that decree finished, they came back to a church that had grown, but it had grown with predominantly Gentiles, and Gentiles didn't care what they ate. They would eat meat offered to idols, they would eat pork, praise the Lord for pork. Aaron, pork on an offset smoker, Tom Cooper, for like a good 12 hours, just wonderful. They were eating pork. Jews don't eat pork. And the Jews are kind of judging the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are like, you guys are idiots, you're weak. And Paul addresses it and says, guys, you're forgetting who you are. Wake up. Your people not abandoning the law, your people not striving to fulfill the law, you're beyond that. Your people immersed in the Spirit. So Galatians 5 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. He's not saying you don't have to now live by a certain principle in life. He's saying when you have the Holy Spirit, friends, you don't need the law. The sinful nature, the issue with it is it corrupts everything. So God creates Adam and Eve, and they're meant to be in open relationship, doing life together. There's no need for rules and regulations. He says, just follow me. And by the way, there's just one area I don't want you to go into, but everything else is free. Let's have relationship. Let's have communion. Let's mutually trust one another and live in perfect harmony. The issue is the sinful nature comes and corrupts that relationship and draws them away from God. And we see this cycle through the history of the Old Testament, of the people of God, drawn into relationship, drawn into community. The sinful nature takes hold and leads them out. And this is the issue of the sinful nature. Galatians 5:19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Again, what's interesting about this vice list that Paul gives us is the majority of them are how we treat one another in community. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God, meaning that God has a new way of life, and when you live counter to that, you're not inheriting what God has given to you. The sinful nature draws God's people away from Him. It draws God's people away from each other. It tears community, family apart. But it draws God's people away from their purpose. We have a purpose. God's people have always had a purpose, and that purpose was to look different. The purpose was to be a signpost to the reality of what God is wanting to do, which is to redeem all of creation. And therefore, we are all meant to be on a progress of that. It's not about perfection, but we are being perfected. And that's our calling as God's people, is to look different. And the sinful nature is trying to corrupt that and draw us away from our purpose. So God's solution is quite simple. It's absolutely and utter to the nth degree freedom. He needs you free. You cannot bargain with it. You cannot try and get out of it. You need to be freed from it. So Jesus Christ comes and He offers freedom, and then He offers a complete new way of life. That is God's solution. It's not we'll try and just slowly, you know, it's freedom. And then a whole new way of life is the way that we get set free from the sinful nature. Now, the Old Testament is beautiful because it sets up as like a foreshadow of what God was going to do finally. So we see Egypt, they are enslaved. Sorry, Israel, enslaved in Egypt. The Egyptians have enslaved them. They've kept them captive. They cannot get free. So the Messiah-like image of Moses comes and sets the Israelites free. They're free. Praise Jesus. Millions and millions of Jews set free in an instant. They get out of Egypt. They cross into the wilderness. And then 50 days later, the law comes down to guide them in a new way of life. Pentecost for a Jew was the time they would celebrate a feast. It was the Feast of the Harvest. But in that week of Pentecost, they would celebrate the coming of the law. This was a foreshadow, of course, of what Christ Jesus would do for us. The law was wonderful because honestly, when people are out of control, to keep people safe, we need boundaries. Anyone here need a little couple of boundaries in their life if they're going to keep safe? Maybe some speeding direction, just like this is the speed, just so you don't kill yourself. We need boundaries to protect us. The issue with boundaries is it doesn't fix our rebellious nature, but it does protect us. So I have, I had four women in my life, and I have five women in my life because we took on our mother-in-law, Tam's mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, your mother. I don't know where I am. I'm looking at that time. It's saying I've got 2 minutes, but it's only 10:50, so I don't think that's true. Is that right, Em? Okay, good. Good. Cool, because I was slightly freaking out. What was I saying? I'm a mother-in-law. Yes. Is she watching today? She couldn't? Couldn't work out the Zoom? Oh, good. I can talk about her then. No, I'm joking. It is kind of like a bad joke, though. Like it's kind of like a man took on his mother-in-law, and then normally the punchline comes. I don't know what I was saying. Boundaries. Richard, see? Five women. Thank you. I have five women in my life. I love my five women in my life. Some dads were meant to be dads of girls. I was made to be a dad of a girl. I love my girls. But I did make a decision, an agreement, that any pet we would have would not be a woman. We will have a male pet. Now, I wanted a male dog, but instead I got a male bunny. And that's okay, because he's awesome. His name is Argo, and he plays soccer. He really plays soccer. And he's a funny boy, but he's intelligent. And he loves to get out of his cage, loves to break out. And so we would constantly be setting up new boundaries to keep him safe. And he would be constantly breaking out because he wants to be free, man. He's a male bunny. He's like, get me out of here. I want to go and be free with all the other bunnies. And he would. He would get free. In fact, one day he got free and we couldn't find him anywhere. And we just assume he's dead because we're pessimists. So he's like, girls, it's done. He's dead. And it was traumatic. They were grieving. There was many tears. They wore black. Like for the day, they all put on black. And I think it was because he is black. He's a little black bunny, but also we were grieving, Aaron. We were in mourning. But lo and behold, we found him a few days later because he'd snuck into our neighbor's garden because it was filled with deliciousness. And he was having the time of his life. So then we realized we need to tighten up these boundaries because this bunny loves to get free. So we did. And now he's an inside bunny. He lives inside with us. He's taken over my life, like my mother-in-law. And the issue with boundaries is it doesn't resolve rebellion. In fact, if you're anything like me, you tell me not to do something, I'm pretty tempted to do it. Anyone was that kid when it said, wet paint, don't touch? You're like, I kind of want to touch it. So the law came 50 days after freedom to keep people in covenant. But inevitably, they would mess it up. They couldn't fulfill it because none of us can. This was not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to guide us into safety. And it foreshadowed, therefore, what would be perfected. Because we are all rebellious. Paul says it like this in Romans 7. He says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Means I have a conscience. Actually, God has written the law on my heart. There's something going on that I recognize. Hey, I want to do the right thing. God has designed me in a way to glorify Him, not just in my worship, but in my entire lifestyle. That's good. So I see the law. I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's not like this me, I'm completely corrupt and evil. No. It's the sinful nature in me that does it. And then if we go down to verse 24, he kind of finishes, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and its consequence, death? Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come and fulfilled what the law foreshadowed. He came to fulfill it. He didn't come to remove it. He came to fulfill it. And that is important for us to understand. With his final words on the cross, it is finished. Jesus bore in his own life the unimaginable consequence of our sins. He took upon himself the full weight of its force, exhausting it of its power. It was like a boxer that had run out of steam. He had punched, and was out of force. Christ exhausted the force of the sinful nature in his own life on the cross, and he died for it. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again, and when he arose victorious, and he robbed the sinful nature of its power and authority. He took its authority from it. And not only that, as he arose into a new life, and he launched a new era, the kingdom era, where he is launching his kingdom to renew all of his creation, including us. And then 50 days later, just like 50 days after the freedom of Israel from Egypt, 50 days after the freedom of the entire human race, the Lord sends the Holy Spirit. And he launches a new way of life, a life that is not guided by the law, a life that is empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. As he goes up, the Spirit comes down to give us a new way of life. The Spirit came as a new wind, setting to flight a whole new day in the people of God, a fire stirring into flame a new way of living for God, one empowered by the Spirit that we may be people of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit then is our advocate. He stands as an advocate for us, praying, interceding for us, convincing God of our justice and righteousness in Christ, and at the same time convincing us of that righteousness. He stands as our comforter. I don't know if you've ever gone through a season where you feel so alone, you're surrounded by people, but you're still alone. But he comes as the comforter into that space. He stands as our helper, our ever-present help in time of need, and he is our completer. He is completing the work of salvation, making possible what the law could not. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I love the Holy Spirit in my life, in my marriage, in my relationship with my kids, because he is developing and producing me in things in me that enables us to live a blessed life. And there's no law against those things. In fact, there's no need for the law, because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when your heart is being transformed, you don't have to tell me how to treat other people. I just want to reflect the character and nature of my God out to the people around me. It fulfills the law because I live above the law. Now, am I perfect in all things? No. My children will tell you very quickly, no. But I am allowing the Spirit to transform my life and transform my heart to be a person enabled and empowered to live a Spirit-led life. So Romans 8, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about the sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Verse 9, you are not controlled by the sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. He is not trying to convince the Roman church they don't have the Spirit. He's doing the very opposite. He's saying, guys, you are people of the Spirit. Therefore, live enabled and empowered by the Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about being led by the Spirit. Then we're going to be talking about how he leads us to love. And this is the Spirit at work in our lives, that we are people of the Spirit. And so what Paul says, and we won't go there just for time's sake, but he says finally in Romans 13, he then says, so guys, wake up. Wake up. This is not something that you need to be refilled or, and I love being refilled. I love fresh moments and renewing of the Holy Spirit. But what he is asking his church and what we need is a church that is waking up to the reality of the life in the Spirit we can have. The Lord wants you free, completely free. And he wants that freedom outworked in a new way of life. And it is only made possible through a life immersed in the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.